And so we are going to speak. I thought, you know, I'm just going to speak about mothers today. No, I'm going to speak about fathers today. And it was, and it's been a good, I've known for about, you know, 4 or 5 days that I'm going to share. And so I've been just pondering, my wife will tell you just many different things, and about fatherhood. And the conclusion that I kind of come down to is that we have so much to learn about fatherhood. You know, the fatherhood of God, God's fatherhood, who he is. And through history, there's been that tension, and as Pastor Powell's been sharing in the series we've been doing on Wednesdays, that the further away we get away from the plans and God's design for and how he has ordered things, which is basically the key to that is being relational with him, hearing the word of God and what he has. The further away we get from that, the more distorted things become, don't they? Relationally, we're talking about, you know, man and husbands and wives, that relationship and the family and all those things. And the further, and our culture is certainly, you know, experiencing that again, because this continues to happen through history, and there's always this battle going on to be rightly aligned with in relationship to God. And if we are, boy, life is different. Life, we find rest, we find comfort, we find, it's like shalom, the way things ought to be. That's what, I've heard that a lot of different variations of the word shalom, the Hebrew word shalom, but one of the definitions I heard from a rabbi is to be the way things ought to be, just to be properly aligned. So I hope that today, you know, as we speak on this subject, I'm just gonna probably reiterate a lot of things about the fatherhood, but and who our Father is, and continue to point ourselves to the Father God. So that's what we're going to do today. I want to just take, I want to told you I was going to do this. Linda's dad entered heaven. Today's Father's Day. And I just want to recognize him. Entered heaven just 2 months ago. And this is her first Father's Day without her dad. And so we just acknowledge him today. I want to say Leonard, but I always forget. It is Leonard. Good. I'm not forgetting anymore. So Leonard, and he, and you know what's amazing, just quickly, is that when we met at the hospital, and he was on his deathbed, really, his physical death bed, and that's where I met Linda. And she said, I want to come to this church. And then she came to church, which, by the way, I was telling you the other day, not too many people come through on that one, right, Pastor Remy? It was like, we talked to a lot of people, said, come on. And then, but Linda came, and when she was here, he went on, this was like 2 months ago, he went home to be with the Lord while she was here, and I just believe that was her father's, because he was a man of God, it was a little bit of a message from God, but certainly from Dad too, like, you're right where you ought to be, I'm going to go to heaven, you get here, and she did, and she's been such a blessing since then. I know all of her friends around here would validate that. But we just acknowledge your dad today, the impact that he had in your life. So God bless this word today, and we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for fathers. Thank you, God, for fathers. Thank you for being our father, I think more than anything else. Just thank you for being our father. And so bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to start there, and we're going to end there, too. John chapter 4. And it's kind of fitting. Pastor Powell's been speaking on 2 Timothy. My wife reminded me, too, of the spiritual father that he was, that Paul was to Timothy. And that's kind of where we've been, this focus on fatherhood. But here in John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 19. Make sure I'm aligned here. Okay. It says, the woman saith in him, so Jesus took his path through Samaria and is talking to the woman at the well. And the woman said unto him in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And then in verse 23 it says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I come to this verse, and I've looked at this verse many times, and I'm like, wow, what's this? What's going on here, God? And the what I just thought of, was thinking about and praying about, as far as what God wants to do, is he wants to show us who he is as the Father. He desires to be worshiped as the Father. And he wants us to worship him probably in a different way than we would imagine, but certainly in spirit and truth, and how the Spirit will give us his definition of what fatherhood really indeed is. So a lot of us, let's just back up for a second here too, is like, I believe a lot of us have distorted views, right? I think we can all probably admit to that, distorted views of fatherhood. The fathers that have been around us and that we've been given, perhaps, sometimes distort our view to the Father. I always used to think, my dad was captain in the military. He was tough. And I want to be careful, because some of my perceptions weren't necessarily from him. They were my own perceptions. But like, I always just thought, if I'm going to do wrong, God's going to kind of stomp me down at the very least, right? Stomp me out maybe. But there was this like, I'm going to be out. And that was often my frame of reference for fatherhood. And when I came to be a Christian, it was dominant in my life. That was the imagery that I often would have of God, sometimes very subconsciously. It just was there, and I didn't even give, at times didn't give voice to it, but my responses and reactions were kind of manifest that that's how I held him. And so through culture, through the centuries, fathers of this earth have marred and distorted the Father, the fatherhood of God. And there's been a corruption, and God wants us to understand pure fatherhood. What is it, the purity of being a father? Because in this culture, and by the way, I think because of the corruption and because of the often misrepresentation, people have moved away from, we see it a lot in our culture today, like we are not going to be a patriarchal society, right? Because it's bad. And by the way, there were a lot of bad things that came out of distortion of a patriarchal, meaning a rule of the father. And certainly there have been there's no doubt about it. But again, people have moved toward and misaligned themselves. And we throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Get rid of the patriarch. Get rid of the father. Just dump it. It's no good for society. And that's kind of, a lot of the times that's where we find ourselves in this nation. That's why, by the way, I think that's why the rise of feminism has taken place, is because of fathers not being, in distorted views of fathers. And so what did God intend? I think the last time I spoke on Father's Day, I don't remember when that was, but I was like, let's think about how Jesus would celebrate the Father. And I thought that would be a good way for us to understand the purity of the Father and what he is intended to be. But to get rid of those perceptions that we have, the perceptions, a lot of the time, I'm going to be a little, let's just be honest, the perception of abandonment. Of being abandoned. How many people have that perception of a father? I see these things all the time when I speak to people. I mean, it's not always bad, and by the way, I celebrate the fathers that have been good fathers, right? I had a good father. I have a good father. He's still alive. I talked to him this morning early. And, I was thinking of your guys' fathers tonight, your dad and your dad, and just the imagery I have of the impact that they had in your lives, and just the man of God that your dad was, and the catalogs of doctrine that he had and passed along to you, and your dad, just the heart that he had. And I just think of fathers. I think of all these fathers, and my father-in-law, who, you know, good fathers. But because we're human, we, says the father, we tend to misrepresent God, even in our own, our best goodness. And so we have these strong points, bad points, and sometimes maybe just all bad points, you know. And as we, what I would like for us as a congregation to go away with, because when I get up to preach, I'm like, I was taught in homiletics to ask myself, so what? Like, what is this about today? And at the end, I like to have, you know, something for us to take away instead of just getting up and blah, 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 wah, 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 right? But to have a point that we're taking away, and I believe the Spirit of God is gonna, will do that today if we're available for that. But I want us to be able to take away as fathers, saw those hands go up today, something. I want us to be able to take away as children, because every one of us are children of a father, right? We all got, us guys got, I was just say this, that our, us guys got that X chromosome from dad. Or the Y, rather. The Y. Help me out, medical people. We got that Y from dad, right? Us guys. Girls, you got an X from dad and you got an X from mom, you know? Just stating some science here that I'm not too good at stating, but that was accurate. And so so we got that. We are sons. We are daughters. And I want us to go away with like a proper view of the Father. I want to take that away today. I want to be like spend the rest of my life getting to know the Father, because Jesus Christ, as we'll go through these verses, was always exalting the Father. Always exalting the Father from his very, from a 12-year-old. He was gone? He disappeared? He was in trouble from mom and dad. And what was he doing? He was in Jerusalem. He was seen. He said, I must be about what? My Father's business. He was totally engaged in the Father's business. And Jesus Christ totally and absolutely wants us to be engaged in our Father's business. We are now sons of and daughters of God. And we are like kin to Jesus, the Son of God. And he wants us to there's a plan here, and it's very specific, and it's to be in tune with the Father. And so practically speaking, I want that. I would hope for that today, for you to take away some verses and be changed as to who the Father really is. And maybe have some washing go on to know who the Father isn't, that imagery that we sometimes, again, subjectively has become us. The Father who is perhaps abandoned, you know, he doesn't abandon us. The Father who perhaps it was hard and austere, you know, that's not who God wants to be. That's not who the Father wants to be in our life. The God who, yeah, the Stoic. Remember, I think 60s and 70s, Stoicism was big. Don't show any emotion. Just can't tell what's going on in that guy's head, right? And that's the way they were with their kids, too. I'm broad brushing. But that's the way we're, and we want to be able to hear that the Father, his emotion is there, and he wants to express his love and compassion for you and me, you know? And he really does. And we talked about being absent and detached. How many have had absent or detached fathers? By the way, I that could be a father that's sitting in his his big chair. He's present, but he's absent, right? And these relationships distorted. And we want to be able to go away today. And first, one thing I was talking to my wife about is like, we need, and I want to encourage you to forgive your fathers today. You know, maybe some of you don't have that need, but others do. And just to forgive them because they couldn't be what they needed to be for you, because they were not attached and didn't have proper relationship to God. Can you forgive? I'm down to the ones who have been abused. I know, I can't even imagine, and I would never, like, even prompt you. I'm out of my lane to tell you to do anything in your mind and attitude towards your father, but I think you can forgive in this sense, if you've been abused by your fathers, is to say, I give up all feelings of retribution and I hand that to you, God. And you know, and I'm gonna let go today. So proper relationship to our fathers. Because I feel like if we don't forgive our fathers, I don't think we're gonna have proper relationship to the Father. I just think it hinders and it holds back and it keeps us doubtful as to who God really is. So forgiveness is a big thing. If we could walk away with that, the forgiveness. I need forgiveness as a father. You know, I think about my son Jay and how different he was from like my daughter Elizabeth. You know, she, I think, needed a smack. I only smacked her once in the butt. She kept running out into B Street and was gonna get killed. So I said, I gotta do something here, you know, and I was that disciplinarian that did that. But my son, I could just look at him like, and he'd start crying. She was tough, Liz was tough. It's like, arr. You know, I'm okay, maybe, you know, after I swat her. And so my point is though that it breaks my heart to think that I wasn't, you know, sensitive, fatherly sensitivity from God towards my son, who didn't need me to be that way when I was that way. So there's a forgiveness piece, like forgive me. And in relationships, by the way, I think the rest, you would do well, I would do well, to be continually working on relationships until we meet Jesus Christ face to face. If you've had a bad relationship with your father, it's good to make that right. By the way, a good book that I share a lot, and many of you heard, is called The Four Things That Matter Most. It's by a Jewish palliative care physician, but he's got these Christocentric principles. And the distortions that happen in relationships with family are many, right? Can't find a squeaky clean perfect family. I've never found one. Thought I did once, but anyway, I've told you about that. A week later, I found out, not at all. But it's called The Four Things That Matter Most, and it's about, I kind of coined the term relational estates. Like, make sure your relational states are in order as you go on with Jesus Christ. Make sure you've made things right. You know, make sure if you're a father and you've really blown it, don't just walk away from that. One of the things in the four things that matter most is saying the things we take for granted, which is, I love you, forgive me, thank you. Saying thank you to your dads, forgive me, I'm sorry, I forgive you. So it's like these things, we can make our relationships right. Good book, it plants seeds in your heads. And if you, that's the only book I'll promote today. Four Things That Matter Most by Ira Byock. But getting our relationships straight, that's what brings distortion in this world, is when we don't have proper relationship. If your dad's gone already in heaven, then it's kind of like, thank you for what you gave me. Even squeak something out of that, and I forgive you. You know, and just be led by God in making those and dealing with those relationships. So we move on. Let's think about what Jesus would be doing and how he pushes us to the Father. Because I think a lot of us, and we can't say this, by the way, what are we talking about, Jim? We can't say, Jesus, I like. But the Father, not so much. You can't do that. And a lot of us do that. I like the Jesus piece, but I don't like the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And he's a full representation of who the Father is. So that might help bring some healing now to your relationship with the Godhead, with the Father in heaven, is to say, I've seen Jesus. So what is the definition of Father? It's pater or pater in the Hebrew, and it means literally a nourisher, a protector, an upholder, one who imparts life, right? Progenerator. He's one that gives his life and it continues on through his own life, through his own seed. He's a progenerator. Do mothers do the same? Yes. But this is very specific to the Father. But he's a protector. And I do believe, by the way, that there is a delineation. I think mothers can protect, by the way. I would never get in, there's some mothers I would never get in the way of because they will rip you to pieces, right? Most mothers are like that for their kid. So there's a protection piece. But there's this protection that, as you look into the Old Testament, you just see that there is a fatherly protection. And one of the ways that you can see that really clearly is if you do a little study on the fatherless and how God protects the fatherless, like in Isaiah chapter 1 and I think Psalm 82, it says that God specifically says, I want you to uphold the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And this is the heart of God towards somebody who has not had a father, is that we watch over them and protect them from this world. That's because that's the father's role, is to give them space to grow, to give them protection to grow up, to give them a capacity to assist them. This is the role. And by the way, Pastor Powell shared beautifully this past week how the husband and the wife are to be complementary and give of each other. Their resources are pooled together, who the man is specifically and who the woman is specifically, and they're supposed to pool together to give that child the most that they can get, you know? And so without getting into specifics, there's this uniqueness. So the father, the pater, is the one who imparts life. He's the nourisher, he's the protector. I think the woman is the nourisher by far. That stands out to me over the years, just to see the way that a woman can nourish. I want to be careful of not pigeonholing people, but there's nothing like the way my wife, let's just make it personal like that, nourishes my kids and watches over them. But there's this role, and it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the word father appears 644 times. That's a lot. But in this case, in the Old Testament, only 14 of those times refer specifically to God the Father. Interesting, right? So fatherhood is established, but we only hear the Father about 14 times. Otherwise, you got whatever it is, 500 and some odd. It's amazing how the Father is definitely part of the culture. In the New Testament, listen to this. If we were going to move away from that principle, this very real godly establishment, then you might see a little less of that in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, Father appears 326 times. And of those, 256 of those times it refers to the Father in heaven. And so we move back to, Christ is moving back to and focusing on the Father in heaven, our Father, right? And there's this focus. He's not moving away at all. And by the way, you know how many times the emphasis we see on the Holy Spirit? You know how many times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the New Testament? Take it, anybody? I'll give it to you. 90 times. So you've got 256 times God is being referred to as Father. I'm not trying to, Holy Spirit's important, right? It's the Godhead. I'm just saying fatherhood's important. Fatherhood's vitally important. And Jesus Christ highlights this in our lives. And we see that all throughout the scripture, the pater, the fatherhood, Abraham, the father of our faith, right? The fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of the 12 tribes. God is the father of our physical birth and of our spiritual birth, the second birth. So let's just, again, take a look at Jesus Christ's exaltation of the Father. In Matthew 11:27, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. And here's the question today, are we allowing Jesus Christ to reveal the Father to us? Because he is intimate with the Father. He was intimate on this earth with the Father, very intimate. Always just, I need to go away to a place so that I can hear from my Father. Always, there was this intimacy. And he knew what the Father wanted. He modeled for us the relationship that we ought to have. And so it was this deep bond of love and intimacy, right? That that resulted in being intimately acquainted with his purposes. That's why I love, like, you know, I love it when men model around here, a woman for that matter, that the heartbeat of God is to care for the vulnerable, because that's the heart of the Father. The heartbeat of God is to say, clear the path, let them come unto me. Don't you get in the way of anybody coming to me. Don't you take your legalism, right? By the way, probably a distorted view of, maybe, of fatherhood. You don't do any, you let them come unto me. I don't care that they're dressed this way or that way. You let them come unto me. That person was you, by the way. And let them come unto me. And that's the heart of God. And I love to see people that just model that for me, because it's the heart of God and it's the heart of Jesus Christ revealing the Father. And yes, I'm going to spend a lot of time. I may be a little bit, you know, going this way on the pendulum as far as the Father, but I think sometimes that's what we need. Pastor Kevin said at the beginning of the message, walk sober, right? Somehow you said that today. Walk soberly, right? And I just, everybody, you know what I usually do when I want to sober up and wake up at what's going on. Everybody slap yourself really hard on the right side of your face. No, I'm just kidding. Wake, it's like, it's time. Don't do it, don't do it. I'll get in trouble for that stuff. So it's like, I want to wake up. I want to wake up. I want to know what it is to be rightly aligned with the Father. Not, but the Father. And so, so look at that. So Matthew 11, 27 says that there's an intimacy here. And that I, Jesus Christ, knows the Father intimately. And then he says, and I want to reveal him unto you. He wants to reveal the Father to you and I today. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 12, 49 through 50, he goes on to say, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. That's what his desire is. That's the Father's desire. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said it unto me, so I speak. So again, Jesus Christ manifests the Father's will because he was intimately acquainted with him, and he wants to bring us into that fellowship with the Father as a son, daughter of God. And then he goes on to say, doing that which the Father, John 5:19, he was always doing what the Father moved him to do. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that which he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That the Godhead functions so in such unity, and that the Son is always just submitted to the heart of the Father. And I love the heart of the Father. We are going to be so blown away when we meet the Father, you know, face to face. And we're going to be like, thank you, Jesus, because you revealed him to us and you made us a son. Likewise, a son like you are. You've made us sons and daughters of God. What a privilege today. How about we walk in it? You know, how about we keep moving towards Christ and letting him show us who the Father really is and have right relationship to our Father. By the way, this starts to change when we have this proper viewpoint. Now you can look at the Lord's Prayer and you say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And on we go into that prayer. And it's like, wow, I'm getting to know God. And by the way, I'm getting to know God. Like, you know, us pastors, we're just getting to know the Father. I'm just saying, because a lot of people, you're so advanced. I'm just getting to know. I mean, people treat you that way, don't they? Sometimes it's like, no. We are just getting to know the Father more and more. And today is just, I hope again, that we'll walk away with that desire to get to know Father better. Really, intimately, in a new way that we've never known him before. So, as we move along here, in John 1:18, it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him to us in John 1:18. So God the Father is this in perfection. God is the protector, the provider, the assistant, the one who generates life in perfection, absolute perfection, the way, shalom, the way things ought to be. So I want to connect with that, right? You too. I know we do. And I want to forsake my wrong impressions, but the distortions with what God's word has to say about him. And that's the only way, by the way, that we're gonna really grow in who the Father is through the word of God and through watching people in the body of Christ express that heart. That's how we're gonna get to know it. That's how the disciples, they learned Christ, they learned the heart of the Father, because it was distorted from the Old Testament times. From the Old Testament, Jesus Christ was retraining the disciples on Father, who the Father was. So, let's see, where do we go from here? Again, I have 16 pages of notes. No, not that many, but too many. And then it goes on to say in John 6:44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent him draw him. The Father is always drawing. He's always drawing. The Father is always, and he's always making a path, making a way for us to come unto him. The Father is always there, whether we realize it or not. Bill, thank you for the text this morning. It's like it says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's there. And he's always providing. You know, and again, I can look to people. Like today, I look to Tony and Mark, who just trust God for their essentials, and God's always showing up, because the Father promises that I'm going to take care of you. In Matthew 11, we'll read the verse. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to take up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking the Father, it's the Father. It's the Father's desire. It's the Father's desire that, you know, we say, I have this ministry of the orphans and the widows. And that's the Father's. That's James 1:17. That is God saying, do this. This is pure religion, that you take care of the orphans, the fatherless, right, and the widows. That's heart of Father. That's the heart of our Father. It's the Father. And by the way, and I love this in 1 John 1:2, it's the Father that manifests the Son, so that he can be known in 1 John 1:2. For it is he who has sent the Son. It is he, the Father, who has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It's the Father whose pleasure it is to give us the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Like, he's wanting to give us the whole entire kingdom of God. Make us sons and daughters. That's the Father's heart. That's the purity of the Father. He wants that. He grants it to us. He wants you to take advantage of it. And what gets the Father angry? People that'll rob you of those things. People that'll distort his name and who he really is. That we're not going to get into it right now, but if you look back in the Old Testament, a lot of the anger that godly anger that God displays is because of people that distort the heart of God. A lot of the violence that takes place in the Old Testament was because his people were threatened by people that would take away this relationship and wipe out this idea of God's love. It's gonna all make sense when we get home to be with God, but it can start to make sense now as we look at things. Oh, wow, that's God. That's who God is. That's who the Father is. So, it's the Father who values us, who wants to remove our fear. The fear that you have the times that we're in. Talk about threatening times. Pastor just touched on that. 1 Timothy, it's like we are in threatening times. And there's been other times, telling my kids last night, Yes, we had times in the 70s, the gas lines, the economy, nuclear threat. Our fathers had, you know, the threat of Russia coming down. But things seem to be getting, they seem to be compounding and getting worse every time. And we're coming closer and closer. And who can take care of that and who can remove the fear? Jesus Christ, who points us to the Father. And the Father says, don't worry. You just come with me, gather. That's where, by the way, the metaphors kind of cross over, is that as a mother would gather her chicks under her wings, right? Now we're getting into the beauty of God, of who God is. Told you I was going to speak on Mother's Day today. Mothers, no. It's beautiful. This is the heart of God. This is the essence of who God is. So Christ is honored on Father's Day to esteem the Father so much, and that he only did what he wanted, what the Father wanted him to do in John 5:19. And the Father was so pleased. What brings joy to the Father? When we begin to imitate what he has manifest himself as. Nothing brings such more great pleasure than that, to lay ourselves down, to lay our lives down for others glorifies God. When you guys serve in the food bank, or you go to JBLM, or you, whatever it is you do, with all the work Sherry does, and just over here at the mission, when you serve somebody, give them that cup of cold water, nothing brings the Father more pleasure than to do these things and to do them in his name. And don't discount those things. And when you look at others doing it, your jaw should drop an awe and say, the Father, they must know the Father. They're doing the Father's work. And it's just an amazing thing. I'm done in an hour. No, I got to watch out when I say I'm done. No, I'll give just a couple more minutes here. But the Father, what brings pleasure to the Father? In Matthew 3:16-17, it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water and beheld the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. What just happened here? It was the beginning of his public ministry. All that he had done, the prerogatives that Jesus Christ left of heaven and the throne room of heaven to come down and to serve and to wash people's feet. It was God the Father announcing, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, who left the prerogatives of doing what makes most sense, being the Son in heaven, sitting on the throne. No, he gave those things up to love on people in more ways than we can ever imagine, right? That brought great pleasure to the Father. And then we know the verse, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, because he submitted all, and I love this, because he was pleased with him, he submitted all judgment to the Son. He's like, he started operating right within the kingdom of God in a very functional way. He's given all things to the Son because he was pleased with him in John 3:35. So we can have that. See what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What honor today that I would have that, you would have that on you. See what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. And we're going to close by just saying this. God's jealous. And the jealousy we always think of as negative, right? Jealousy kind of really can cause troubles. But there's a godly jealousy and pure jealousy. And you know what he's jealous of? He's jealous to be the Father for you. He wants to be acknowledged and glorified as the Father that he is. And fathers, he wants us to be like him in the sense that we just yield and learn as Jesus did, and keep leaning into him and know that he wants you to lean into him. I think a lot of fathers don't think that. But he wants you, the fathers, he wants you to lean into him like never before. He wants you to, if you still have kids, maybe you have some estranged relationship with them. He wants you to forget about your distorted image of fatherhood or the distortion that came in your fatherhood. And he wants you to realign with him and perhaps go and say to your child, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I love you. Forgive me, you know, and he wants us to realign with who he is, because that's the heartbeat of God. That's the heartbeat of the Father, is to properly align with him and make things right, make some change, you know. Maybe some of us are just waking up saying, oh my gosh, I think I blew it in this area as a father, right? And I want to make it right. And God wants us to come to, but he's jealous, we'll close with this, we really will, is that he's jealous over his title of father. Now that we start to get a better glimpse and more defined glimpse of who the Father is, we start to understand, like, this is right relationship. This is being in right relationship to intimately know him. And that he knows that this is the way things work, is when we're in proper alignment. And he wants to feed you and give you life and promulgate, as the Father does, the promulgator, the one who procreates. He wants to bring this life into human beings. And so it says in Malachi 1:6, it says, a son honoreth his father. And this is God talking to through Malachi here. It says, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. He was like, there was a distortion and he was calling them back. If you get this, then honor me as father. In Matthew 23:9, it says, and call no man father upon this earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. You see, that's the reason that's all going. Of course, you call your dad, your father. But this is saying, like, we're not going to give reverence or homage to anybody else but the Father. God is jealous over his position as the pure, ultimate Father. So being in right relationship to the Father, Christ has made it possible. He perfectly reflected the Father. And now we have this today. And we could go on, really we could go on, right? You could go into Luke 15, I'm not going to. But we could go into Luke 15 and just the whole relationship to the Father and him just waiting for the prodigal to come back. Him being the Father being so grieved that his son that was legalistic didn't look to him properly. You know, distorted relationship. And we could go into all that. But let's just finish with what I said I was going to finish with. Do you remember what that was? Did you lose track of that? You shouldn't have. Shouldn't have taken you off course at all. Is John chapter 4 and 43. It says, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for the fathers that you've given us. God, as fathers, we do repent that for the times that we don't represent you or haven't represented you. And we just want to have this change of heart. We want to understand you purely in the way that the Son has revealed you. And bless this church, Lord. Let us raise up, you know, I pray that our fathers that have kids right now in this church would fully take advantage of this relationship that you, Jesus, want to give to them. And bless our children and let them understand the Father. And we just love you and we thank you. And if there's, I think everybody here, as we know earlier, has been here before, but if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's the one that brings us into that sonship so that we can be a son of God, a daughter of God. And if you've never received him, then you just ask him and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior and bring me into your kingdom. And I want to enter into that sonship. I want to be a co-heir with you, Jesus, as a son or a daughter of God. And if you said that, I want you to share that with somebody that you know here and let them know so that, as Mark was saying earlier, that we can tell you next steps and just encourage you. And so, God, we just, again, we praise you, and let us just ponder this day, this week, on the purity of the Father and our relationship to him. And I ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious holy name. Amen.